KTRC. It's time to get answers to all of your real estate questions. Talk 1260 KTRC presents All Things Real Estate, New Mexico's foremost live, listener-interactive real estate radio show. The phone lines are open, so call us at 505-473-5722 or email us your questions at rpost@sfrp.com. Now, here's your host, Ray Post.
Hello there, my friends in Santa Fe and beyond. I welcome you to the regular Sunday afternoon edition of All Things Real Estate. This is Ray Post with Santa Fe Realty Partners, and along with my in-studio guests, who I will be introducing in a few minutes, we are planning on bringing you some very timely commentary on an issue that is very much in the news, and that is affordable housing in Santa Fe. And of course, we invite you to join in the discussion here on Talk 1260 KTRC, by emailing me, Ray Post, your questions and comments, by sending your message to rpost@sfrp.com. But before we get going, I want to encourage you to check out the renovation, repair, and design partners we have listed on our website. Simply go to www.sfrp.com, click on the radio tower icon, and look for the list of real estate resource companies, as well as other partners who are providers of terrific services and products that can meet all of your needs. And since today is the launch of Santa Fe's Restaurant Week, I want to give a little plug to one of the All Things Real Estate partners. That is Maria's New Mexican Kitchen, one of the participants in the week-long event. As our friend Al Lucero, co-owner of Maria's, said this past week, quote, "We're trying to make it cheaper this week to eat out than to eat at home." So I encourage you to check out the special dining deals that Maria's is offering all week long by going, again, to our website, www.sfrp.com. Again, that's www.sfrp.com. Click over to the radio show page and then look for the contact information on Maria's. So let's get going with a couple of minutes of State of the Market commentary from Andrew Hoffman, advisor to All Things Real Estate. Good afternoon, Andrew. I think you're going to be speaking somewhat to our show theme today, maybe a little play on words, by bringing your own thoughts on the current affordability of real estate in Santa Fe. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. Yeah, I look at affordability in sort of two blocks here. One of them is that, as we've been saying, rates are at a 35-year low, around 5%. And so the question I cast out to your listeners is, should you refinance? And the answer is yes. So let me give you an example. A $300,000 mortgage at 6% that you've had for 4 or 5 years, you could get at 5% today, thereby saving about $3,000 a year or $250 a month. The cost of doing that is about $2,800 for everything. And it means that you pay back the cost of doing that refinancing in less than 12 months. So tell me any other investment that you can get today where you get a return of 100% a year. I think that's pretty affordable. But then as I look towards the home buying equation, the rent versus buy equation is heavily weighted towards buy. If you're renting a house today for $1,300, and you have a little money in the bank and decent credit, you should buy, and here's why. For an equivalent payment, originally you're paying $1,300 to rent a house, you can borrow almost $250,000, which will get you a good house today. And the actual payment on an FHA loan with 3.5% down is about $1,600, with tax and insurance and mortgage insurance. But there is a deductible interest expense, which will lower your taxes, the taxes that you pay on your income, by about $400. So instead of paying $1,300 for rent, you could actually pay $1,200 to get into a house of about $250,000. With the FHA, you have to come up with 3.5% down, but with USDA or VA, you may get into a loan with 0% down. And one of the things I found out this week is that Los Alamos qualifies for a USDA loan with 0% down. So there is obviously some affordable deals out there, and, you know, I'd like everybody to consider that.
Very good commentary, and again, we've been beating this drum for, it seems like forever, Andrew, about the fact that the first-time home buyer tax credit expires on the 30th of April. At least you have to have your property under contract by that date.
Mm-hmm.
But also, too, as I was talking to my special guest, who I'm going to introduce in a moment, is that it's not literally just first-time home buyers.
No.
If you have owned something in the past but haven't lived in a home for 3 years, you fall into the same category, correct?
Yes, and even if you own a home,
you can do move-up.
You can move up and get a $6,500 tax credit.
Right, and the last point on this before we go out on this conversation, Andrew, is that New Mexico is one of the few states, I think about 15 states in the country, where they actually have monetized this federal tax credit where you can actually bring the money to the settlement table. So it makes it a significant thing for you as you're sitting there about ready to close on that first home. Anyway, Andrew Hoffman, thank you for your commentary. I'll talk to you next Sunday.
Talk to you. Bye-bye.
Right, bye-bye. Okay, I want to shift my gears here, and actually I'm going to come back to what Andrew was talking about in a moment, but I want to welcome Dina and Jeff Major, co-principals of Santa Fe's premier developer and home builder company, Major Development Incorporated. With more than 15 years of experience, Major Development has helped scores of satisfied Santa Fans build new homes, convert garages into living space, and build guest houses. Today, Dina and Jeff are going to bring some very thoughtful commentary to the show regarding Santa Fe's affordable housing situation, which is an issue that's very much in the news with campaigns just around the corner. So our goal today is to offer some useful observations on the issue of affordable housing and hopefully educate you, the listeners, about the perspective that this developer and home builder has on the topic. Welcome to the show, guys.
Thanks, Ray.
Thank you.
Nice to have you back again. Anyway, before we go into that, though, Dina, you had some interesting information, which I did see this week, that goes on the heels of Andrew's play on words of affordability in housing, but there was some very significant information that was in the media today or this past week, so talk about that for a moment.
Actually, it was really exciting information for those of us who live here in Santa Fe. U.S. News and World Report broke an article, I believe it was just this past week, 10 housing markets to watch for the next decade.
Mm-hmm.
Their theory being very logical in that as the housing bubble bursts differently in different areas of the country, they also expect the rebound to be different and driven by local markets. In other words, it won't be the same everywhere across the country.
Right.
As a result of that, they have done an enormous amount of research, and I won't go into all those details. And again, you can get the article through U.S. News and World Report, March issue. But they've listed the top 10 cities to watch in the country where they expect prices to begin to escalate starting in the third quarter of 2009.
Uh-huh.
Santa Fe is
2010.
Listed. 2010. No, 2009.
Oh, in 2009. Okay.
This was as of third quarter 2009,
right.
And they are tracking consistent with their projections in retrospect. Their numbers do support their projections.
Uh-huh.
Santa Fe is listed fourth on that list. We are fourth in the top 10 cities expected to increase in median home prices. Their projection is actually by Moody's Economy that area home prices in Santa Fe are going to be increasing an average of more than 5% annually over the next 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that is consistent with the latest numbers that were put out by the Santa Fe Association of Realtors,
right,
about the Santa Fe area market stabilizing and prices starting to increase here.
Right.
So I thought that was really, really exciting.
It is significant, and it actually points out that Santa Fe is somewhat of an anomaly compared to the rest of the country, as we saw that there was some data this past week released on both existing and new home construction and prices and the selling of property. And so this is something that's on the minds of people. So it's good to know that here in Santa Fe, if you are a buyer, it's still a buyer's market. But if you're a seller, there's going to be some stability to pricing, and it only encourages, along with the tax credits, that buyers do the right thing and buy something right now.
Yeah, and for those of us who have lost value in our home, this is good news.
Right.
We're
exactly.
Happy to see it's going to go back up. But, Ray, it also leads us into the discussion of affordable housing,
mm-hmm,
assuming housing prices are going to start back on the rise here in Santa Fe, which it is tracking that way. If affordable housing becomes an issue, all the more important that we need to address.
Okay, well, let's address it. Again, we're going to be giving the perspective today of home builder, developer on this particular topic. And affordable housing is something that people hear about. Like we talked about the last time you guys were here, everybody's for affordable housing, just like we all are for green building. But policy sometimes can get in the way of reality. And I think maybe what we're going to do today is do a little bit of a reality check. So let's first of all frame what affordable housing is all about. What the policy here is in Santa Fe. Go ahead, Jeff or Dan.
Jeff, why don't you jump in on that?
Well, I'd like to first start, Ray, with, and this ties into affordable, is a major development for the month of March is offering a 20% discount to anyone that contacts us and starts the process in terms of a remodel of their house, replacing their windows with high-efficiency windows, restucco, new roofing, whatever your project is, from the smallest to actually a complete house. But we will give, and we are offering a 20% discount for the month of March if anyone will contact us and start the process.
And that is significant, and we're going to mention this throughout the show so that everybody who maybe is tuning in and out can realize that a 20% discount on anything that you guys do is significant as we go into the spring market. Again, the best way to get a hold of, there are several ways, but the best way today to get a hold of either Jeff or Dina Major is to go to our website, www.sfrp.com. Go to the radio show page. You'll see their contact information. Click on it and get a hold of them so they can get you guys can get a hold of that 20% discount. So go ahead with affordable housing, Jeff.
All right. Well, I don't know of any builder or developers that are opposed to affordable housing.
Right.
I am certainly not. I support affordable housing. What I am opposed to and what I'm frustrated by is how the city has gone about making affordable housing happen. Uh-huh. And what I mean by that is they have put the cost, the entire cost of affordable housing on the builder developer.
Now, you know what I'm going to do is you've now teased everybody by laying the gauntlet down. And unfortunately, as Gino's looking at the board here, we're up to a break. So Jeff Major has now framed what we're going to be talking about. The phone's probably going to be ringing off the hook.
Battle
the email's
ready.
Coming. So anyway, please stay tuned. We'll be back here in All Things Real Estate so we can dig into this issue further with Dina and Jeff Major of Major Development Incorporated.
1260 KTRC. Now, here's your host, Associate Broker with Santa Fe Realty Partners, Ray Post.
Welcome back to All Things Real Estate, and today I have Dina and Jeff Major, co-principals of Major Development Incorporated, with me, and we're talking about affordable housing. Before we go back into our conversation, I want to encourage you to check out some of the featured homes that are actually offered this week by Santa Fe Realty Partners. In our full-page ad in today's Santa Fe, New Mexican, you'll find information on what we consider to be, quote, extraordinary properties. Now, you can also go to the homepage of our website, www.santafe-realtypartners.com, for more information and lots of pictures for these very special featured properties. So, Jeff Major, you teased everybody. You framed from the developer's standpoint your position on affordable housing. But before we go back to that, let's at least describe what affordable housing is statutorily for people that maybe are not familiar with it. Go ahead.
Okay. For a developer such as myself, the requirement for any new development, you have to do 30%. 30% has to be affordable housing. So, in other words, if it's a 10-unit development, 10 homes, then three of those homes have to be affordable.
Uh-huh.
Define affordable?
Affordable for someone to qualify or a family to qualify, their income cannot exceed over 60% of the national average.
And income. And we've got some issues here on what the actual price point of the property is, but it truly is a lower price point somewhere. I see it has been quoted around $200,000 or thereabouts.
Or less.
So we are talking about a specific segment of the housing community. All right, so that's what it is that you as a developer are facing as far as law is concerned here in the city, in the county. So your position, again, is?
Well, you know, this 30% ordinance was enacted in late summer of 2005. So here we are 4 years later, and there has been affordable houses built, but not at the level that the community would like to see. And the problem is how our governing body has gone about financing or making affordable housing happen. And what they have done is put the entire cost and burden on the backs of the builders and developers. For instance, let's talk again about the 10-home development. If I go, when I go to my architect and I tell him I want you to design 10 homes for me, and, oh, by the way, 3 of those 10 are affordable, I want my affordable discount. And, well, there is no such thing as affordable home discount.
Uh-huh.
And the same thing applies when I go to buy my lumber. The same thing applies when I go to pay for concrete. There is no discount to the builder.
Windows,
all the materials. As far as they're concerned, you're going to pay full retail just like you would if it was a full market rate home.
And yet you have to build the home and then price it according to this policy at probably $200,000 or less, irrespective of how much it literally costs you to do it. So you had a very good example you gave to me during the pre-show period. Go ahead.
Well, yeah. In other words, the cost of the land that house sits on, let's say, is $150,000, and I have to build and sell a house for $150,000. There's no way I'm going to make money. I'm actually going to lose money. And so let's say we have 3 affordable houses, and they sell for $450,000, of which I already have $450,000 in the land, haven't built a thing. So how do I offset the money that I've lost? Well, I have 7 other houses that I can tag on an extra $50,000, $60,000 to try and offset the cost of what I've lost. But what happens when you do that, you're driving up the cost for the average homeowner, one. And two, you've priced yourself out of the market, so they're not going to sell.
Right.
So ultimately, there is no recovery for the builder.
Right.
This is a community-wide problem. The community needs to bear the burden of building affordable housing. For example, in Albuquerque, they've taken a totally different approach. There's a bond in place. The city has issued a bond. The residents of the city pay for the cost of that bond. There's millions of dollars generated annually for affordable housing, and the cost to generate those dollars is spread out over a community of 750 or a million people. So the cost is negligible. And yet the amount of money they're building to help create affordable houses is tremendous.
Mm-hmm.
And it's working much better. And I don't understand why the city has taken the approach they have taken.
Okay, now you've teased everybody again because now I have to go to another segment. So we've set this up. We're doing this very nicely.
we're doing a good job here. Gina,
we've reached that point in the show when it's time for our legal topic of the week, brought to us by the Reuben Katz Law Firm. Now, this week, attorney Leonard Katz is once again turning the tables on us a bit by offering the second half of his top 10 questions that people are asking or should be asking their real estate lawyer as we enter 2010. You'll remember that during the January 31st show, Leonard offered up 5 questions that were primarily directed to buyers. And to get Leonard's thoughts on these questions, you can always go to our website, www.sfrp.com, and then go to the radio show page to listen to that January 31st show. But today I recommend that you simply listen to and think about getting answers to the second 5 questions from your own real estate broker, lender, or lawyer if you're buying or selling a property in 2010. Question number 1, if I am a buyer of property, what title insurance do I need? What exceptions to the title insurance should be removed? And who should pay for the cost of this coverage? Question number 2, also as a buyer, how should I take title on the property that I am buying, especially if I'm buying this home with someone else? Also, is creating a corporation or a limited liability company an option for ownership of a new home? Questions 3, 4, and 5 deal with issues a seller needs to consider. And that is question number 3, what review should I undertake regarding a possible buyer of my home? How can I be assured that that buyer who presents an offer on my home will actually have the money to make the purchase or be qualified to secure a loan? Question number 4, when I decide to sell my home, is it always necessary to complete a seller's disclosure statement? And if so, what do I need to disclose? And finally, question number 5, when I get a ratified contract on the purchase of a home, when should I plan on moving out, and do I have any risks that the buyer won't close on the purchase, and how do I protect myself against this possibility? Great questions.
Great question, yeah.
Anyway, these are among those critical questions that a buyer or a seller should be seeking answers to, and in the upcoming show, attorney Leonard Katz will provide us with some of his own answers. In the meantime, if you have your own real estate questions that Leonard can address on future shows, you can always send them to him by going to our website, www.sfrp.com. Click on the radio show page, and then go right to the Reuben Katz icon. So, Gino, I guess we're going to take a break here on All Things Real Estate. When we come back, Jeff teased everybody. We're going to answer his rhetorical question.
Now, here's your host, Associate Broker with Santa Fe Realty Partners, Ray Post.
Welcome back to All Things Real Estate. Today I have Jeff and Dina Major of Major Development Incorporated in the studio with me. We were talking about affordable housing. Before we go back into that conversation, I'd like to welcome Annie O'Carroll of Annie O'Carroll Interior Design to the show. Annie is well known within the New Mexico design community and offers a wide range of professional interior design services to her clients. Today, as part of her regular interior design call-in commentary, Annie is going to give us her best suggestions on getting ready for the arrival of spring. So welcome to the show, Annie.
Thank you.
How are you?
I'm doing great.
Well, you've got the platform. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, a couple of Sundays ago, I was talking about the top 10 things I thought we could do to get ready for spring. And today I wanted to focus on one of those topics, which is outdoor fabrics.
Terrific.
And just in general, I think we're seeing such an emergence of outdoor kitchens, outdoor showers, really how people are living inside and out. And given the time restrictions today, I thought I would kind of bring people up to date on what's happening with outdoor fabrics.
Uh-huh.
It's a simple thing to do to recover outdoor cushions. There's an amazing surgence of the kinds of materials that you can get with they're 100% solution dyed acrylic fabrics, and they have a really soft hand. In fact, it's hard to even tell whether they're meant for indoor use or outdoor use. I'm doing a project right now with like a 20-foot span of window, and we're using the outdoor sheer fabrics inside because of the sun protection.
Hey, I'm sorry about that.
Oh, that's okay.
We're going to be bombed soon.
Hope not.
Remember, this is anyway. I'm sorry. That was a warning. So go ahead.
That's okay.
That doesn't mean you have to stop right now.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to mention that there's wovens that feel like chenilles. That the hand is so soft. They're doing trims now. There's reversible fabrics. There's solids. There's prints. The prints used to be more bright, and they reminded me of more Florida prints, and now I'm really finding that the colors are enhancing the natural surroundings rather than overpowering our surroundings. So they're inherently good for outdoor use as well, because they do have mold and mildew restrictions, but also they're fade resistant. In fact, one of the websites that I like is perennial.com, and they were talking about a guarantee of 3 years to fading.
Mm-hmm.
And in our sun, even if you were using these materials for indoor use, you really can, you know, on a sectional or a sofa where the sun's coming in, and we always had to treat the windows. Now we have these fabrics available that not only work for outside but inside. So I'm really using them inside, outside now. But I just encourage people with the color palettes and all of the different kinds of fabrics available to take another look at those.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's an affordable way to really to put some spring and put some new color in, and to use some new fabrics, especially with the shears. I think the shears and the wovens are probably the two newest areas that would be really great to take a look at.
Well, excellent suggestions, Annie, as always. And again, I encourage everyone who wants to follow up with Annie O'Carroll to go to our website, www.sfrp.com, and go to the radio show page. And right there is Annie's big logo. You can click on that and contact her. And also, too, go to our newsletter this month, which features an article which talks about these very issues from Annie O'Carroll. So, Annie, thanks so much for being on the show today. We'll have you on next month.
Thank you, Ray.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
back to our conversation about affordable housing, and she worked in the word affordable, too.
She did.
Yeah, that's very good. Anyway, Jeff Major, you were talking about the burden on developers with this 30% requirement of affordable housing in any kind of new construction. Dina, talk a little bit about what that actually means.
Well, what that actually means, and Jeff alluded to this, is particularly within Santa Fe City proper, I can't really speak to the county, Ray. We do build more, or have in the last decade built more in the city. But because land is expensive within the city, our cost as a builder, our land, by the time we buy the land, we put in the infrastructure, the financing costs, we've carried it, whatnot, you're looking at probably about $150,000, $100,000 to $150,000, depending, closer to the $150,000, just to have a pad of land. And I'm not talking about a large lot. I'm talking about a building site in the city.
Right.
So when that affordable housing is then being constructed, and you're selling that house when finished for $150,000 to $180,000, you've basically paid for your land.
Mm.
And the builders then have taken, are taking on the entire cost of building that home. And so they're losing hundreds of thousands of dollars. Now, that was not a real enticing invitation back in 2005.
Right.
But I can tell you, in today's market, considering what's happened to our industry, the majority of the unemployment rate, I mean, the unemployment rate, what is it in the city now, 7 points?
Yeah, it's 7-something.
But even nationally, over 10%. I think I heard a statistic where 80% or 70 or 80% of the 10% unemployed in our country are people related to the construction industry.
Yeah, it doesn't surprise me.
So the reality is, with this kind of program in place to fund affordable housing, i.e. construction and developers paying for all the affordable housing, it's not going to happen. You're not going to get any affordable housing. Our industry has been hit so hard, and it's just completely unrealistic. Did I think it was fair in 2005? No, I didn't. Do I think it's even reasonable or logical in 2010? Not at all.
Right, because the economy changed significantly. Perhaps the policy goal at the time was very laudable.
Right.
Part of the reason was that Santa Fe has been losing gross receipt taxes by people who can't afford to buy here, and they live in places like Rio Rancho. And we actually had, by the way, I should say thank you for whoever's sending in all the emails. We had a number of email questions. We're going to try to get to a couple of them. But a question, you know, is there any kind of thing that's affordable here in Santa Fe as opposed to another community? Well, yes, there is, and it doesn't have to fall into the category of affordable housing. There are a lot of bargains out there.
There's a lot of bargains out there, and it's important. It's, in fact, crucial to our community that we address affordable housing. It's crucial.
Yes.
We need to have the people who work here, live here, and be a part of our community. That's what keeps it interesting. What I am suggesting is if we adjust our approach to affordable housing, Ray, and instead of putting that onus all on an industry that's been beaten and battered anyway, it's unrealistic. If we adjust our approach and make it a community issue and perhaps float a bond like Albuquerque did and create a kitty, we can not only address affordable housing and build more affordable houses, we can put people back to work in our community.
Great
we
position.
We can put people back
right,
to work.
In the construction
In the construction trades, whether you're talking general contractors, subcontractors, tradesmen, laborers, we can keep businesses open that are supplying materials to this industry. This was an enormous integral part of our community, this industry, and it's been devastated.
Is this, Jeff, I want to ask you, Dina's suggestion about doing something, replicating what Albuquerque has done, is this, do you think, a position that most people in your business, the builder-developer community, would embrace as well for Santa Fe?
Oh, absolutely. They've tried. There's been several lawsuits brought by builders and developers, and for whatever reasons they've somehow been pushed aside and they've not been successful in that endeavor. But they would absolutely embrace any type of program that made it a community problem. Well, it is a community problem, but the cost borne by not just one individual, but the community.
A community solution is what we're talking about.
Rather than one particular industry that's shouldered, especially in these tough economic times. We have about a minute before we have to take a break, and I know, Dina, you want to talk a little bit about something that Andrew Hoffman alluded to regarding Los Alamos.
Oh, well, Andrew mentioned particular financing for Los Alamos, and it just triggered in my brain a project that we have over at 933 Alta, where we have some gorgeous new homes, averaging around 2,000 square feet, plaster walls, stone floors, two-car attached garage, if you can believe that, in downtown Santa Fe.
Wow.
And the reason his Los Alamos comment made me think of that is we have incredible financing available through Los Alamos National Bank,
mm-hmm.
a 4.75% 30-year fixed available on these new homes.
Extraordinary. And some closing cost benefits, right?
Yeah. I mean, they've been very generous. They've been terrific with us. And so I really would like to draw some people's attention to that. Come out and take a look at them. And, again, in relationship to the Los Alamos listener, a lot of the other buyers and renters in this new development are Los Alamos employees. Our proximity for commuting to Los Alamos is terrific.
Mm-hmm.
You're in downtown Santa Fe. You can walk to the plaza or the rail yard, or you're straight up 285 and up the hill. So tremendous, wonderful, beautiful homes available there with special financing and easy access up to the lab.
Well, great suggestion again. What's the address again?
It's at 933 Alto. But they can
933 Alto, and again, they can go to majordevelopment.net. And click on Dina and Jeff's listing. You can
TRC.
Our house is a very, very, very fine house with two cats in the yard.
Welcome back to All Things Real Estate. This is Ray Post with Santa Fe Realty Partners. And by the sound of that music, you know that we are up to our weekly Open House of the Week segment. Today I have my colleague Linda Bramlin on the line. Good afternoon, Linda. How are you?
Hi, Ray. How are you?
I'm doing fine, and you know the drill here. You've got 2 minutes to sell everybody on the fabulous qualities of 104 Jimenez Street. Go ahead.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here today. The sun's peeking out a little bit, so that's great, after our wonderful snowfall this morning. I'm really excited to be presenting Jimenez Street. This is the first time it's both had an open house and, of course, been on the air. It's a condo, and it's right off of the plaza of downtown Santa Fe. Couldn't be more convenient. It is an adobe. It was refurbished about 9 years ago by someone named Doug Outwell, who's a local Santa Fe architect. People who are from Santa Fe might recognize the name. He really embodies the charm and unique character of Santa Fe through his architecture. And this home is no exception. It is beyond charming, really. For example, the condo has cove ceilings, and which are very sculptural, and he has embedded in the walls, for example, artwork and tile work, which is just amazing. The windows are really an old touch of Santa Fe, but updated to work in today's lifestyle. It is thoroughly, thoroughly adorable, and the location couldn't be better. It's immediately off West San Francisco Street, just blocks from the downtown plaza, as I mentioned, but also close to San Busco, the rail yard, the Vargas. You can really walk everywhere from here. And it's perfect for those who are looking for either a pied-à-terre in town or a small place to get away when you're here and visiting Santa Fe. And I would say that although it is a condo, there are no HOA or restrictive covenants, which is great, which you find quite a lot in these older historic areas of Santa Fe. So you have all the beauty of low maintenance and no restrictive covenants or HOA dues. Two bathrooms, two bedrooms, a living room with a kiva, another wood-burning stove that was just installed, a kitchen, small dining area, and two bedrooms. It's really, really great with off-street parking, two spaces, a quiet, leafy street. The asking price is $365. Please come by today. I'll be open until 2:30. Or call me with questions. My number is 570-0236. I'd be happy to set up a showing for you.
Sounds like a marvelous property, Linda.
You're welcome.
And you're there now. You'll be there till 2:30. Right?
Absolutely.
And so I encourage everyone to go to 104 Jimenez Street, right downtown near everything, all the action. Fabulous condo. I hope the buyer is on his or her way there. Good luck.
Thank you, Ray.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Back to my conversation with Dina and Jeff Major of Major Development Incorporated, co-principals of that company. We've been talking about affordable housing today. Before we go back into that, though, I think you have another promo mention you want to tell people about, right?
I just want to remind people that we are offering... Turned up my volume. I just want to remind people that we are offering a 20% discount through the month of March for people that... contact us and start the process moving of any project that they want to get going on in their home. It could be a remodel, it could be an addition, It could be a repair, replacing windows, adding in some energy efficient windows. I'll tell you what, we are coming into spring. It's a wonderful time to consider compounding. We've done some tremendous walls and compounding for people over the years.
Define what you mean by that.
Compounding, enclosing your property, fencing and walls and defining your space. So 20% discount through the month of March.
That's a great price.
Yeah,
and again, you don't have to build a whole house with Jeff and Dina Major. You can do all these very important minor things. They're not so minor, actually, cumulatively, and get that great 20% discount. We're going to come back and mention that at the end of the show as well. But you talked about something before, Dina, during the break, and that deals with the issue of accountability. So go ahead.
Okay. I could be walking into a minefield.
Go ahead. The show's almost over.
Okay, well, here's, you know, my opinion is that, you know, this has been tough times, as we all know, and the federal government has done some things that people can argue whether they like it or don't like it, but they've done some things to stimulate, in their opinion, stimulate our economy and get things moving nationally. But I'm of the opinion that we have to take on some responsibility for that as a community, Ray. And so I want to encourage people to, Election Day is coming on Tuesday, and I want to encourage our community to hold our elected officials accountable and hold ourselves accountable. And let's come together and find some solutions and find some ideas to get the ball moving here. As I suggested earlier on affordable housing, if we just take a look at a different approach, perhaps through a bond, I'm open to other ideas, but create a community kitty for affordable housing, we can help solve our issue of affordable housing and have more affordable homes. We can also put people back to work.
Mm-hmm.
And don't we want to do that as a community? We want to do our part? So that comes back to the accountability. Let's look at our own, in our own community, in our own backyards, in our own resourcefulness. We have it.
Mm-hmm.
Let's look at what we can do right here. It means thinking outside of the box, Ray.
Mm-hmm.
It means looking at things. But that could be something good that comes out of this whole, you know, economic downturn. I'm an optimist. I'm always looking for the silver lining. But it's maybe something good that can come out of all this is we aren't comfortable with the status quo anymore, and we do start looking for different ways to solve our community problems and, you know, live our lives and do things in a better, more effective way.
Well, and all you're asking for is a more balanced approach, because as we talked about when Jeff framed it at the beginning of the show, is that maybe the idea of affordable housing that everybody is for, when the policy was created many years ago, the economy was different. But now the burden is so significant on one constituency, builders and developers, that it's not quite as equitable as it should be. Is that the message?
That's the message, and it's also unrealistic, because that is the industry that's taken the greatest beating in this downturn. And if indeed what you want is affordable housing, then we need to look at another way to make that happen.
Right. Jeff, we've got about a minute or two left here on the show. 3 minutes, actually, so any thoughts?
Well, yes. I read a statistic, and I think it was an article from one of the city council councilors. And they were saying, based on their information, Santa Fe is losing $300 million a year by people moving from Santa Fe down to Rio Rancho or Albuquerque to more affordable housing. And then with that population shift, those people are spending their dollars in that community, i.e. Albuquerque or Rio Rancho. Just think what we could be doing if we would have kept those people here in Santa Fe.
Mm-hmm.
Businesses, $300 million being spent on goods and services here in the community.
And our local businesses.
And our local businesses. And you take the gross receipts that would have been generated off of $300 million worth of goods and services that goes back into Santa Fe, the community of Santa Fe.
Mm-hmm.
And so here our city is, in my opinion, worry about nickels and dimes by putting the burden onto the builders. They don't want to spend any money. They want the builders to spend the money. And they're losing hundreds of millions by not helping adequately fund this affordable program.
And it makes a big difference, for sure. We got about 30 seconds, Dean. Any last thoughts on affordable housing you want to share with the listeners?
Well, I was going to say, take that one step further and put those people back to work. You also take them off of the unemployment rolls, and you also then create tax income, more tax income for the city and the state that way too. It's a win-win all the way around, Ray. We just need to think outside the box. It's time to move forward and look at things differently.
Great way to end the show. Good commentary for all of those elected officials that are looking at the voters on Tuesday. So I want to thank Dina and Jeff Major of Major Development Incorporated for bringing this terrific commentary today. Thanks, guys. I want to have you back again. Thank you, Gino Thompson, my producer, and Kate and Jane back at Santa Fe Realty Partners for producing a darn good show today. Thank you for tuning into our program, and please know that I would love to help you with any of your real estate questions, so call me at 989-8900. And please don't forget to help those who are less fortunate than you and I, wherever they may be. So until next Sunday at noon right here on 1260 KTRC, I send you good luck and fortune in all things.